This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Something weird just happened outside of the studio. Poor Ethan is working in the, right outside we have the producer's studio where everything is managed. And there's nobody here. I saw John Hancock down on the KMOX side. Brad Young was leaving the building, but nobody is here. I think maybe one news person down at KMOX. And all of a sudden, and this is not something we experience on a daily basis, the lights just all went out. Not here in the studio, but everywhere else in the building. So Ethan's working in the dark.
And he said, well, I thought that there was motion censored. Maybe there weren't enough people, so he was waving his arms. And then it turns out somebody just hit their switch on the way out.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yep. Well, the switch is not nearby.
I thought it was a signal. Get out of here, right?
Maybe.
We're going to wrap things up for this half hour at 5, and then I'm going to play some Christmas music heading into Annie Fry's Christmas special tonight on 97.1 FM Talk. Before we do that, how about some entertainment recommendations from our friend Dan Buffa, who reviews exclusively these days at doseofbuffa.com. Dan, Merry Christmas. How are you this afternoon? Whoop, that's the wrong one. Let's try this.
We're steamrolling towards Christmas.
Yep, it's getting closer, isn't it? And Sue and I were just kind of noticing, like, we're downtown. There's nobody downtown. There's maybe one person walking across the street or something like that. It's just such a weird feeling. So last night, Dan, and this is interesting because Dan and I tend to agree on a lot of things. We've known each other for a long time. I am not an active critic anymore, so we've had, you know, an opportunity over the years to match up top 10 lists and things like that. But last night, Dan, I watched the Bob Dylan movie, A Complete Unknown, which I guess technically may open tonight. I was blown away. I thought it was fantastic. Timothée Chalamet was really good. It was him singing and playing guitar. Also, in fact, James Mangold, the director, says he used, instead of overdubbing it, he used the live vocals from when he was performing some of these songs. So you didn't like it as much as I did you?
No, I thought it's one of those movies you admire more than you like. For me, I think he did a heck of a job. I think his singing is more impressive than his acting. I'm not a big Chalamet fan, so it's not like I go into the movie like he's Tobey Maguire, and I just really hate him. But he's going to have to do a little more to really impress me. Edward Norton.
Wait a minute.
I thought Edward Norton was great as Pete Seeger. I thought he was just you could feel the empathy pouring out of Edward Norton. And of course, you know, Scoot McNairy playing Woody Guthrie, you know, even in limited scenes. But for me, there was nothing really at stake in the movie. Like, I love Mangold's Walk the Line, where you had his drug addiction and his natural rough childhood, and he was just basically chasing June Carter the whole movie. And in Elvis, you kind of had, you know, the Colonel was kind of like his big stepping stone. With Dylan, you just had to get people, hey, this guy's a really good songwriter. Listen to his music. Don't hate on his electric. And so I thought the movie didn't hit as emotionally hard as I thought it was going to, but it is it's not a movie that I can, you know, as a Rotten Tomatoes guy, I can never give this a rotten rating. I'm just not as blown away by it as what seems to be the majority.
Well, and that's fair enough. Look, we're not always going to agree on everything. I thought, for me, it was the authenticity. And you could have been 2 minutes into that movie, and I could have said, nope, this ain't working. But I saw Timothée Chalamet ease into this role, and this actress who was in Top Gun, Maverick, who played Joan Baez, was fantastic. Yeah. So I really liked it. And our friend Norbert Leo Butz is also in the film, so we're a fan of that. What did you like? What do you like right now that's in the theaters? Did you like Wicked?
You know, I didn't see Wicked. I'm not the kind of person that usually flocks to that genre, but I do have it in my little CCA app. I don't know. I know we're both kind of, partial CCA members, so we have. I've had access to this app that has – it's loaded up with all these movies, so I have not gotten to Wicked yet, even though I've heard it's great.
Well, I really liked it. I thought it was – but, man, talk about – like, if I'm doing a top 10 list at this time of year, which I used to do, both those movies, Wicked and A Complete Unknown, would be at the top of my list for sure. Anything else that you want to mention that's in the theaters right now? I know that you wanted to talk, and I started watching this. I haven't finished the Superman documentary. That's really good.
Yeah, what?
The Christopher Reeve documentary.
Oh, I would love this.
Excellent. It's on – which one is that? Is that on Max?
It's on Max. It actually just hit Max. It's really a well-done documentary. like if you've always wondered about, you know, what the impact that he had and what he did once he had this devastating injury, it's great. And also just takes you into who Christopher Reeve was and how he got that role. And you know, the whole movie just kind of hits really, really hard. But, you know, there's stuff out there. I think that, you know, I wasn't a huge fan of the second Gladiator. I wasn't a huge fan of Juror Number 2. Those are just a couple movies that have been playing
around.
All right,
hang on. Let me stop you right there. So I didn't see the form, but the latter. I like Juror Number 2. That's the Clint Eastwood movie. I don't think it's, you know, awards worthy or anything like that. It's now streaming. I think I saw it up there. Which platform, Dan? Do you know offhand? Might be Paramount Plus.
I would say Paramount Plus.
So it's a courtroom drama. It's Clint Eastwood's on the movie. He's directing the movie. I think it's got a pretty solid cast. I like it as an adult drama. You don't have a lot of adult dramas. You know, usually these things tend to veer off in the social justice arena. So I always think of my mom and something that Judy Reardon would like to watch because they don't seem to make movies like that. And I would say Juror Number 2 sort of qualifies for that.
I will say there's an unconventional Amy Adams movie called Night Bitch that is a movie that once again popped up on my app, and I was like, okay, I got to watch it. And it's great. She plays like this stay-at-home mom who abandoned her career. And of course, Scoot McNairy, who is in about 5 movies a year, pops up in this movie as her husband. But she kind of has a little bit of a reawakening, and it's not what you would expect, but it's like, the Charlize Theron movie where she was a stay-at-home mom and she was overrun. It's kind of like that. So that's a movie theaters. It's kind of like a little unconventional, but I want to remind people about Sing Sing, a movie that's kind of playing it's probably on your Amazon Prime platform. It's got the great Colman Domingo, who is surely going to be nominated for Best Actor. Because the phenomenal thing about this movie that I didn't know is that the prison had a theater program. And they had they took on like full-blown plays, classical plays.
Do you know about
Hamlet.
This, Sue?
I don't
it's,
think
this
so.
This is an interesting movie because they use some of the prisoners in the film, right?
Wow.
It is. I would say 3/4 of the prisoner of the cast you see in the prison are real people who are in Sing Sing, who are in this theater program, who are great. I mean, I want to say, oh gosh, who is the guy who was in Sound of Metal? Paul Racy. He's in it. He plays great. He kind of organizes it all. And Colman Domingo and Clarence Macklin is a guy who's going to be Best Supporting Actor, kind of making the rounds. But it's a movie that has kind of one of those Shawshank kind of impacts. At first, you're not thinking you're watching much, but then as the movie carries on, you see that this theater program is kind of helping these prisoners become human again. It makes them connect to real life and entertain people. And I didn't know it existed. And by the end of the movie, you're just kind of moved by these characters. And it also reminds you how great Colman Domingo is, who I hope does get nominated because he's kind of like, I would say if there's a performance of the year, it's his, it kind of sneaks up on you. So, Sing Sing is a movie that it came out, but it didn't have much of an impact, but just something that people they shouldn't really forget about.
Anything that you would point to if I asked you your favorite holiday films? I have a couple of movies that I want to talk about that I'm shocked that I'm going to maybe even recommend, but I want to hear your answers here.
Well, there's a new one. There's a, from the, at least the writer, Richard Curtis, who did Love Actually. There's a great animated film on Netflix called That Christmas, where Brian Cox voices Santa Claus, and it's about this crazy Christmas on this little island in England. And the whole cast, so Bill Nitty, they're all in there. If you've seen a Richard Curtis film, the whole cast is full of his character actors. But that's a great little movie. And, of course, Mark, you know I stand on the side of the fence that Die Hard is a Christmas movie. So I've watched not one, not two, but 3 Christmas-ish enough for me Die Hard movies in the last 24 hours. So I am Christmas movied up. But
did you did you see Carry On Netflix, the ridiculous Jason Bateman movie?
This is the thing, Mark. Another movie I thought was just okay. I thought Bateman, that was a good, ambitious chance for him to play a villain. But this is the biggest quip. Have you seen it?
It's terrible. But I'm going to tell you, if you're looking for something to turn your brain off, I watched the whole thing, you know, but it's awful. It really is.
They sell it. I mean, but this is the problem. They showed him too early. If they would have done the phone booth thing, like they did with Kiefer and Colin Farrell, and they didn't show him, if they showed Jason Bateman like 2/3 into the movie, it would have had a bigger impact than, hey, I'm Marty Bird playing the bad guy.
I know. Wow. It's so hokey. By the end of it, it's really hokey. And just you're like rolling your eyes, right?
But I tell you what, man, can I just say something? The guy doesn't work anymore. He's been afflicted by a terrible disease. But I just want to say how much I appreciate Bruce Willis. I am watching, yeah. I think I've watched all of his movies. I grew up on this guy, and he wasn't like Arnold and Sly. He didn't have big muscles. He didn't know kung fu like Van Damme. But he was just, he was scrappy. You just couldn't put him down. He would just, you know, he'd come back, and he'd always have a great line. He's like, you know, ah, oh, John, you know, you couldn't have had a great little thing, but now I'm crawling through this metal tube.
Yeah,
like a human, I'm like a human dinner plate.
Well, Die Hard is simply one of the best movies of all time.
Yes.
I don't think that's not even debatable. And I'm sick and tired of the whole Christmas versus non-Christmas. I'll give that to you if you want. But, you know, some of us, you're younger than Sue and I, Dan. Some of us fell in love with him in the show Moonlighting in the 1980s.
That's exactly right.
And do you believe that if you watch that Netflix, the movies that made us, the Die Hard part, they took them off the poster momentarily when everybody they laughed at the trailer when they showed this comedy guy. Now we think of him as like, oh, what would John McClane do? Take off your shoes and socks and run around the streets and save everybody. He kind of created something. And again, he didn't have big muscles. He didn't have the accent. He was just a guy you could not put down.
Let me make my very risky movie Christmas recommendations. Now, I don't want to be held to this by a family or anything, but I did something a few weeks ago and went down the Bad Santa 2 well.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Dan, let me just say this.
Oh, boy.
But I'm tooling around one night. I'm like, I'm looking for something. It was after Thanksgiving. I'm going to watch Bad Santa 2.
Right?
Yeah, I think so. Yes, yes, yes. So Bad Santa 1 comes out in the early 2000s. So first I'm confused. Wait a second. And I remember this came out a few years ago, but I never saw it. So I watched Bad Santa 2. I didn't even like Bad Santa 1. But, man, I loved Bad Santa 2.
I don't understand that at all. Dan, is that true?
It is. No, no, no. I mean, so I went back. This is what I did 3 nights ago. I went back and I watched the first one. Yes, Dan, on Paramount Plus. And I kind of look at it through a different lens, and I kind of I appreciate both of those movies.
That's interesting.
There's a lot of vulgarity. There's a lot of profanity.
This is the thing, about those movies, is that Billy Bob Thornton makes those movies work. And I think Billy Bob Thornton is kind of like a great bourbon. He's just going to get better. The older that I get, all of his work is just going, oh, man, that guy really has. I'm watching Landman on Paramount Plus. He's great on that. He's a guy who is a real-life Cardinals fan who I know puts little Cardinal dialogue into his role.
He does.
That's
funny. He played the lawyer on Goliath on Prime.
They had lots of Cardinals references.
Show. He told his character, he was like, what did Bob Gibson say the most important thing about pitching was? Strike one. And I know that wasn't in the script.
Oh, of
it was
course
story
not.
Bob Thornton.
Dan, I probably told you this story before, but about 10 years ago, I went up to Bill at a Critics' Choice Television Awards before we, you know, combined the two. And he's in the middle of A-listers, all kinds of people around. And all I did, I said, Bill, have you, and I'd interviewed him before on KMOX, but I said, hey, Bill, have you seen a Cardinals game this year? Because this was in the summer. It was in, you know, June when the awards were. And he locked in on me for, I don't think it was 10 minutes. I've said, it was probably 7 or 8 minutes where he just sat there and talked baseball. And you can feel, you know, like I'm looking at him, I'm listening to him, and there's all these people around me that are trying to look for an opportunity to take a picture or something, but
just
he wanted to talk baseball.
And Reardon just cracked the code. He's like,
well, you know, that's an effective way. You get in with someone like that and you start talking about something they love. And,
Mark,
you know,
I'll tell you this much, man. It's around Christmas time. I just want to say how thankful I am to you for having me on all this show all these times. And I'm not as top shelf with the interviews as you are, but I always try to make the people I'm interviewing laugh. Like, I made Channing Tatum laugh because he was in L.A. and he had sirens in the back and he was like, oh, I'm sorry. And I was like, man, this is St. Louis. That's like church bells. And I just made him laugh. And the whole interview. So I'm not as top shelf as you are, but I try to make my.
Oh, you do a good job. And Channing's he actually is a really good dude.
It's fun, though, right?
It is fun. And you're awesome. You've been a great contributor, and I'm glad you came in here on Christmas Eve. You're wrong about a complete unknown, but that's okay, Dan. Every once in a while, you're wrong. Have a great Christmas, Buffa.
I'll tell you this much. You were right about 1917. It just took 2 or 3 viewings for me to really get the impact of that. So give me some time.
There you go. Sometimes a second viewing helps. Bad Santa sort of did it for me. Dan, have a great Christmas.
And marinate.
We'll see you.
Get more at 971talk.com.